What's up, guys? Welcome back to SEC Smoke. It's your host, Jalen Posey, better known around Oklahoma parts as JP. And here we are on another episode where it's no bias and just smoke. We've had three different people from three different fan bases in the SEC, and it's been super exciting to be a part of it. Today, we have a Tennessee fan. His name is Charlie Sells, and I'm going to let him introduce himself to you guys before we go any further. Charlie, go ahead, take away, bro.
Man, thank you so much for having me. I'm always excited to talk to other fan bases, especially some that I've respected from afar, you know, before you were in the SEC. It was always kind of like almost a similar comparison to like we were on the same tracks and we were always kind of on the cusp, but not really making it over the hump a little bit. But man, it's awesome to be here. I grew up a Tennessee fan, never really knew a whole lot of other sports, didn't really follow pro sports. My dad went to UT back in the 70s, and then I eventually got to go in the mid 2000s, about 2006 to 2010. And so, you know, it's the thing I follow the most, and not just football, but, you know, basketball, baseball, softball, you name it. We live, eat, and breathe orange and white around my house. That's for sure.
It's good, man. It's what the SEC is about. It's why we created this show, because we know there's so many passionate fans within these fan bases, and we want to bring them on the show and talk about, you know, some people may call them controversial topics. Some people may just say differences of opinion, but at the end of the day, it's all love. But that's all it is. Here's the question that we're going to get into first. Oklahoma and Tennessee obviously have tried to find their footing in the last couple of years. Both have gone through ups and downs, I would say. Tennessee is probably at the best it's been in a while with Coach Heupel, who everybody knows is loved in Oklahoma, quarterback that won us our last national championship, former offensive coordinator for Oklahoma. Both fan bases expect to compete in the SEC, and not even just compete, but to win an SEC championship. That being said, who do we feel like is more primed to be an SEC championship winner first, Oklahoma or Tennessee?
I love this question, man. And I think every single team is kind of asking that right now because, you know, number one, thank you for the gift that is Joshua Kenneth Heupel. As Tennessee people, like we know that y'all are watching it going, oh man, we could have had him, and that's okay. You know, I think one of the most interesting things as I've kind of thought in the offseason about the restructuring of not having divisions this year and it just being straight up and us going through the league fully every 4 years now, I don't know that anybody can say definitively who's poised to do what now, because, you know, once we did away with, you know, the East and the West, now you don't have Georgia that has, you know, an easy path or Alabama that has an easy path necessarily. It is really anybody's game. You're seeing teams that you used to only see every 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Now you got to see them every other year. And not only that, you got to go to their place and play them every other year. So I wish I had a better answer to that, man. If we're just comparing, you know, Tennessee and Oklahoma, you know, Tennessee is going through this really interesting transition period where we have reloaded in every single position very well, except quarterback. This is the first time we haven't had a transfer quarterback come in or somebody who is in their junior or senior year who is poised, who is ready. We still don't have a starting quarterback, and that's kind of Josh Heupel's thing. I don't know that I could say that, you know, we're going to compete for one this year. I know that we're going to surprise some people in some of these early games, especially as we kind of get our feet under us. You know, if I'm thinking about somebody, a team that is poised to make a more solid run, I might give the advantage to Oklahoma because y'all do have a lot of starters who are coming back. You've got a lot of consistency, especially on the defensive side. We got a brand new defensive coach this year. And the word on the street is that Jim Knowles is a genius, but it takes one or two seasons, you know, to fully install his system. Now, we do have the benefit of having several Penn State players come back or come to Tennessee and help maybe get that process along. But I think it's probably going to I would give the edge to Oklahoma. But I'm so interested and fascinated to see what happens across the league this year, just because there is so much unknown about who goes where and who plays who. And honestly, like, I mean, we're all talking about, is there even going to be an SEC championship at some point? I'm of the opinion that we probably don't need it. But, you know, I understand we got contracts and we got things like that. So long way of saying, I'm going to give the slight edge to Oklahoma just because I think y'all are about a step or two ahead of us. And once we get some pieces installed, a consistent quarterback, and continue to reload at those really core positions, wide receiver, running back, then, you know, who knows? It could be the two of us in, you know, 2 or 3 years, which I think would be absolutely awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you – I think you hit the nail on the head. I wasn't sure what your answer was going to be, if you were going to, you know, try to find a way that Tennessee maybe would be closer, because I don't believe that they are. And there's no disrespect to Tennessee or Tennessee's fans. We were talking about it before. I got a chance to go down to Knoxville this year, and that's a special place. It's the hardest place to play, I believe, in the SEC. And that's why we were so stoked when we got out of there with a win, when our Luke Rose award kicker kicked 350-yard field goals, you know, much to the you know, chagrin of the rest of the volunteer fans in there, I think, including yourself.
You know,
from what we talked about
before. It's hard to watch.
But that being said, Oklahoma, I truly believe, is more poised right now in moving forward to win the SEC championship. And it's just because of what you said. As great as Josh Heupel has been on the offensive side of the ball, and we know just how good of an offensive coach he is, we also know that the system he runs does have its limitations. And while it may be very fast-paced, you may be able to get up on people, if you're not able to have a defense to match that, or if – you create turnovers get created, and you're not able to have as many possessions as you would like, things cannot go in your favor. And I think that's why he made the decision to hire Jim Knowles, who, if anybody knows who Jim Knowles is, I mean, that guy is, he's different. And being an Oklahoma fan, we had to deal with him at Oklahoma State before he got big at Ohio State, where everybody now knows his name. We knew who he was at Oklahoma State and how great a defense they were. The multiple type of defenses that they had. I mean, very, very honestly built in some of the similar cloth as Brent Venables. And then he went to Ohio State and was able to do what he did. And so I truly believe that Tennessee in a few years could be pretty formidable. But I think Oklahoma, even this year and maybe even next year, is poised to compete for an SEC championship. We bring back a lot of returning production, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I know the offensive side of the ball wasn't the greatest for us last year, but our quarterback had a thumb injury for most of the year, couldn't grip the ball, even though he wouldn't have said that publicly. That was the truth. We did not have a great running back room. We didn't have a great tight end room. We've revamped both of those rooms. We have who a lot of people consider to be one of the best running back coaches, if not the best, in college football, and Dylan McCullough, who was just at Notre Dame, and the guys that he mentored, like they were with him 3 years and had 1 year without him. They just both went in the first round of the NFL draft this year, Darian Price and Jeremiah Love. So that guy knows how to coach running backs. And then on the tight end side, you have a Hall of Fame tight end and Jason Witten.
Who, my man.
If I'm my just,
you know, I have his autograph up there, actually.
at the end of the day, Chris, like at the end of the day, people can say what they want about, oh, he's never been a tight end coach, he's never done this at this level. The man is a Hall of Fame tight end, one of the best tight ends in NFL history. That's one. Two, he's proven he can at least coach somewhat because he's won 2 state championships at the high school level in Texas. And again, not necessarily Texas 6A football, but he's still coaching in Texas. And that is, it's hard no matter what level of football you're playing at to win state championship and to be a leader of men. And so that being said, Oklahoma, I believe, is fully revamped offensively. And while I don't expect us to be top 10, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to say that we could be top 30 this year. And we know what Brent Venables is on defense, and he's already got us rolling. We were a top 10 defense last year, and we returned a good chunk of – we lost a lot, but we also returned a potential first-round pick in David Stone on the defensive line. We got Owen Heineke back after his battle with NCAA and Kip Lewis on that level. We got Corlin Guillory and Eli Bowen, who are both have been freshman All-Americans before. And then we got Peyton Bowen on the back end, who, you know, a lot of people think is going to be a high-round safety. So we have good NFL talent everywhere. And so that being said, long-winded way of saying, I truly believe that Oklahoma is in a better position right now than the Vols to compete and to win an SEC championship, Chris.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And we had one of the youngest rosters last year. Even in a rebuilding year, we almost beat Georgia at home. I mean, we were this two blown coverages. It was so hard to watch because it happened right in front of my season tickets. And I'm like, why does this have to happen right in front of me? Come on, y'all. It was hard to watch, but it was also kind of like, hey, this was supposed to be kind of an off year, like a down year where we had a lot of pieces that were going to be missing. And so now that we've got, you know, 4 and 5 stars coming in, plus some sophomore and junior consistent talent that didn't bail, that didn't transfer, they didn't go chase money, they didn't do anything like that. You know, we've got one of the best running backs in the SEC, and Deshaun Bishop coming back. Like, it's going to be a very interesting year because we're not rebuilding holistically. We've just got some key gaps that I think are going to take a minute for us to kind of figure out. And, you know, the good news is we don't have a massive coaching overhaul to go through. We're not in the position of an LSU or an Auburn that have a new head coach coming in. And say what you will about how great and successful they have been in other places, I think that's awesome. It's still a transition year. It's still an adjustment. That fan base is going to have to adjust. Those players are going to have to adjust. So, you know, I think we're almost there. We're just a step or two off of where an Oklahoma or an Alabama or, you know, even like Georgia. I mean, we're up there, but we're not quite there yet is the way I would say it.
Chris, Oklahoma is now going to be entering his third year in the SEC. In the first year, it didn't go so well. Didn't go so hot. We were 6-6. We won maybe 2 league games. It was pretty rough in terms of everything we had going on injury wise on the offensive side of the ball. Jackson Arnold didn't show who we thought he could be. Then last year happens. We go to the playoff. You know, we cement ourselves as one of the better teams in the SEC. That being said, back all the way back from 2021 when people knew Oklahoma and Texas were coming to the SEC, there was always a lot of chatter. There was always a lot of chatter of whether Oklahoma was going to be able to now keep up with the big dogs in the SEC. And not even sometimes the big dogs, even the middle row. Once you hit that SEC grind, is Oklahoma just going to go away and be a regular degular, if you will? That being said, do we feel like OU being in the SEC has hurt its brand thus far? Or has it boosted it?
It's such a great question because all of us were kind of scratching heads going, well, if we do the geography, they're not technically in the Southeast, but we would call them a part of the South, right? So they've at least got part of it there. I was a big fan of it, to be honest with you. I thought it was going to up the level of competition. I'm all about upping whatever kind of competition that anybody gets to play. When it comes to the playoff or, any other kind of tournament bracket, I'm all about like insert chaos as much as we possibly can. Give people interesting games, give people better competition. And from that regard, it made sense to bring successful programs in. You've got Texas and Oklahoma, who both very successful, very storied programs. Why would you not want that as a part of the conference? I think it has elevated the brand to the degree that they have not only seen success and sustained success, maybe minus that first year. And, you know, we're still just a handful of years into it. But I mean, I think they're showing that this wasn't a fluke. We do belong here. This is not just something we thought we would try out or sounded like a good idea at the time. I look at what happened when Missouri came into the SEC at the same time as Texas A&M. Both of those teams were very competitive within a handful of years. It didn't take very long. In fact, Missouri was beating East teams very handily at times, to the point where a lot of Tennessee fans were going, why did we bring them in? We thought this was going to be a cakewalk. And they wound up elevating the conference as a whole. And so I think it's been great for college football. I think it's been great for Oklahoma. I think it's going to be great for the conference going forward as well, because and this is so out of left field, you'll have to forgive me, but I had this when we were talking about what do we do for the future, for the playoff, for reimagining divisions and all of that, I was like, well, why don't we just go to 4 divisions NFL style and have our own mini playoff at the end of the season, because that would make a lot of sense. You don't have to pair teams up by geography necessarily, but if you've got you know, 4, 8, 12, 16, and then let them kind of battle it out and then, you know, have something at the end. It spreads the competition out a little bit. It lets everybody see everybody more often. And we've obviously kind of gotten to that model in a roundabout way. I think it's been really good for Oklahoma, partially because you didn't really see a lot of SEC teams unless it was in bowl games. I had to go back and look and see what our series record was, you know, against y'all. It's not great in our favor, but, you know, it's the first two times we saw each other in a non-SEC setting were bowl games. The Orange Bowl back in the day was one of them where I think you guys beat us pretty handily. I mean, I love when you can introduce new rivalries. Like I've heard from so many Oklahoma fans that have said Knoxville is one of the best places we have ever been to. And I've heard Tennessee fans rant and rave about how great Norman is as well. That's the kind of stuff you want. I'll never forget back in 2016 going to the battle at Bristol when we played Virginia Tech up there. It was kind of like this moment where everybody got to breathe and go, we've been talking about doing this for 20 years and we finally did it. Like it's a border war that we've never made happen before. And now look at this, here we are. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch what our two teams do, you know, around the league and with each other. Cause we've now traded home losses with y'all over the last two seasons. So, I mean, there's going to be something there. I think it's great for college football when we can make it. Now, and again, I know that not every conference has also had that, right? There are some that don't make sense. Why does the ACC now have to go coast to coast? Why does the Pac-12 now have to go coast to coast? It's you're doing it, right? Like we're sitting here going, why was that decision made? So from the logical standpoint, it makes a lot of sense. But I think, you know, both Texas and Oklahoma have showed we're here. We belong, and we're not going anywhere for a long time.
It hurts me to admit that Missouri helps the SEC because I can't stand their – I'm not going to lie to you. I can't stand their fans. And if you're a Missouri fan and we've talked online, just come on the show because I just you guys are delusional in my opinion. But all that to say – a lot of people forget, Chris, the Big 12 in the mid-2000s, it was really 1A, 1B with the SEC outside of, you know, USC who had that run. You know, they were just crazy out there in the Pac-12. But in terms of, like, conferences top to bottom, the Big 12 was right there with the SEC in the mid-2000s. You had Oklahoma, Nebraska that was still, you know, they were still at least a decent Nebraska. They weren't 90s Nebraska, but – they were still off the remnants of that. You had A&M who had some good teams. In Missouri, like you said, Kansas State had good teams from time to time. Oklahoma State with Mike Gundy was starting to roll, especially late 2000s. And so there were a lot of really good teams, including obviously Oklahoma and Texas, you know, and what they did in the Big 12. And so it wasn't even necessarily a surprise that Missouri went and did that. I think – The thing that I think of, and going back to our original question, is can you compete brand-wise? And Missouri did a good job on the field, but at the end of the day, they kind of go in there as just another team, whereas Oklahoma is like we brought in blue blood status. We brought in Story, you know, so it was going to be hard to really diminish our brand unless we did – we were just catastrophically bad, which, again, 2024, you looked at it and you're like, bro, what is happening? But for us as Oklahoma fans, we said, okay, we had a lot of injuries. We're not just going to take that and be like, oh, this is what life is going to be like in the SEC. And I think we proved that this past year, being able to go, I mean, beating you, Alabama and you guys back-to-back weeks, I think just fully cemented us as like, hey, we're not afraid. We want the smoke. Like we'll come to Knoxville. We'll come to Tuscaloosa. Mm-hmm. You know, back to back the SEC grind, and we'll do what needs to be done. I mean, we struggled more, it seemed, at home than we did on the road. You know, struggling.
That's kind of our story. Like we went to Florida and smacked them last year. You know, and then turned right around and dropped one to y'all, like at home. It was so weird to watch that kind of stuff happen, you know?
Yeah. And it just goes to show, I think, if you're prepared and if you are who you think you are, you have confidence, then you come in and you don't shy away and you can't. And that's not who we were ever going to be. And I think it has helped us not only in our makeup and how we're, you know, what we're doing with our team and the way, the style in which we're playing now, but also it's clearly helping us in recruiting too. We're currently 2027, the number two class behind Texas A&M. And this is charting to be our, you know, potentially our biggest class ever, like our best class ever. We finished number three with Lincoln Riley, I believe, in 2021. That was the highest we had in, you know, since we started tracking some of this stuff. And really, at Oklahoma, it's always been about development. Like we haven't always needed to have the number one class. We've always developed really well. Guys have come out of here all the time. And again, we've proven it ourselves just with our consistency, not even in the 20th century, but we've been one of the most consistent teams in the 21st century. We just haven't been able to pay off a national championship, unfortunately. But all that to say, Chris, I do think that being in the SEC has elevated Oklahoma's brand, and it just makes it more so that people want to come to Oklahoma. They want to know what Oklahoma's about. And when they see that we also have, you know, the best conference in football on our chests, then they want to come to Oklahoma even more.
I'm glad you brought up recruiting, because that's one of the things I was thinking about as well, where, you know, you guys are pretty much one of two big dogs in the state for the most part. And imagine going to sit in a recruit's living room or talk via phone, whatever we do these days, and being able to say, look, I know you want to go play SEC ball. Imagine only having to drive a couple hours and mom gets to come to the game and you still get to play in the best conference bar none in the entire country. Like, that's such a great selling point. So you want to talk about a brand elevation. Like, it's not just about what Oklahoma brings to the table. It's about what the SEC brings to Oklahoma, because now you guys have a massive selling point to local kids or semi-local kids, where, you know, like in Tennessee, we have to compete with Georgia and Alabama and Florida and the Carolinas. And, you know, geographically, we're really landlocked and we got a lot of competition, not just in the state, but, you know, on our periphery as well. So, I'm not surprised at all that your recruiting classes are going to stick in the top 10, because you're going to grab those Midwest kids. You're going to grab those probably some of the kids that are leaning more West Coast to say, look, go to California if you really want to. The beaches are great. But if you want to play some real ball, you don't have to go very far to do it.
Agreed. And the thing is, it's boosted our recruiting even more just because of what you just said. Because we recruited well, obviously, before that, being the name and the brand that we are.
Right.
We've recruited well nationally a lot. That's why when, like, Colin Cowherd was like, Oklahoma's going to be the new Nebraska, where are you going to get your recruits from since you're playing in the South? And I'm like, are you just a talking head? Do you not actually pay attention to, like, we've always recruited nationally because we're a national a brand, and that's how it works. Like, I would even say that Tennessee is a national brand enough that you guys also recruit nationally and don't just have to rely on Tennessee kids or kids from Northern Georgia. Like, that's great, and you want that. Don't get me wrong.
You want to own your state as much as you can. You're right.
Absolutely, you should. But to say, like, oh, like, Nebraska's an entirely different, like, that's an entirely different conversation, right?
That's right.
But that being said, I do think that the recruiting boost has helped because we are playing in the best conference in America, and you get to go to these different venues, different places. You get to put out tape against, look at these NFL guys. The SEC just had 87 draft picks, you know, the most ever. And, you know, we're getting to play against that every day. So come on in and do that, right? That is, I think, the lore of the SEC. And then you get to say, hey, also, on top of that, Oklahoma's won 7 national championships. We've had 50 conference championships, you know, 83 All-Americans. Like, we're one of the most storied programs of all time, top 5. So you add those two together, then it just makes sense that it would elevate us instead of diminish us. It would take a lot. We'd have to have a complete fall off like Nebraska kind of had for that to happen.
And let's not forget, you got a basketball program that has produced the likes of Blake Griffin. You got a softball program that is lights out. You got a baseball program that's in the College World Series right now as we are recording this. Indeed. I mean, they had a freaking shutout the other night that was so beautiful to watch. I mean, it's everywhere. It's not just the one sport, right? Like, I'm gonna call somebody out real quick. Name another Notre Dame sport that could carry their school if football went away.
I love it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Notre Dame football is awesome. Notre Dame football is the stuff of legends. Like, we've all seen Rudy. We all know what's going on with their football program. But what else is going on over there? Like, when you can find a school like Oklahoma and like Texas, and you want to bring them in and say, listen, it makes everybody better and it makes y'all better. Why wouldn't you do that?
I agree completely. I do.
Chris, you gave us a great story, man, about how you grew up in Tennessee, grew up in Knoxville, was able to go to the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. You have season tickets there. And so if anybody knows about being a Tennessee fan, it would be you. So my question to you, brother, is do we feel like your guys' expectations are too high? And the reason I say that is because I know you guys expect to win national championships, SEC championships. And I'm not saying you shouldn't. However, when we look over the course of the history of Tennessee, you know, do we feel like if you're not winning a national championship every year, you need to fire your coach? Because, for example, at Oklahoma and at Alabama and at Notre Dame, like, that is the expectation. Do we feel like Tennessee is on that level?
Man, I wish I could let you into the trauma that is the last 30 years of being a Tennessee fan. And I mean that honestly, because there is so much that has happened in our program and really in our school and our athletic department during that time, with a ton of turnover and mishires and everything else. You know, there are certainly people within the Tennessee fan base that is their expectation. If we lose two games, all of a sudden somebody's calling for a coach's head. And I'm like, let's not do that. We don't need to be those people. Okay. We don't need to pull a Penn State. We don't need to be the truly Homer fan base that a lot of people think we are in a lot of ways. And so I love that you brought that up, because I sit in the same season tickets, same seats that I did when I was 6 years old, you know, 7 years old, going to see Peyton Manning and T. Martin and, you know, all of these legendary players, you know, Big Al Wilson and John Henderson. And, you know, even when I was a student, getting to watch Eric Berry play, this was like one of those things I will never forget. Watching that hit on Noshon Marino, you could still hear it. Like, it was just a crack. It was awesome. It's awesome to see. Right. I think, to answer your question, what we have experienced as a fan base, and I'll speak to my own experience too. We went through such a raw, rough period after Lane Kiffin left, from 2010 to 2021 when Heupel got there, that it was just awful. We would get great recruiting classes in and do nothing with them. We would talk a lot of game and build facilities and do a lot for the brand, but there was just not a lot of follow through. And when we were going into our last two hires, Jeremy Pruitt included, my thing was, like, I don't necessarily care about your accolades. Like, I want a winner. I want somebody who wants to be there. But I just wanted exciting football again. I wanted to go to a game and feel like we had a chance. I wanted to go to a game and watch us compete. And I didn't see that for almost 12 years straight. It was hard to watch, man. And so I don't know that I would say there's like a championship expectation every year, because we got to be realistic. This is probably not a championship season for us. We have a brand new quarterback coming in. We got somebody that might be ahead of them to come in as a backup. And we have, you know, a transfer coming in that's got some experience. But I don't know where any of those guys are going to land, if I'm being honest. So I think we've all had to take, as a fan base, a real hard look and just go, let's slow our roll here a little bit and let's be okay building something. Now, if it gets to the point where we have multiple 6-6, 7-5 seasons, yeah, we're gonna call BS on that and be like, we gotta right this ship and we gotta do something different, because something else is off. I think with the history that the school has, with General Nealon doing what he did back in, you know, a long, long time ago. But my favorite fun fact about Tennessee is that they have a record that will probably never be never be matched or beaten again. Tennessee is the very last team to go undefeated, untied, because ties were a thing back then, and shut out every single opponent to go unscored on. They're the last school to do it, and I don't know that anybody else is ever going to do it. So you go through that. You go through these miracles that happened in 85 and 86. You go through the dominance in the 90s, you know, where it was Tennessee versus the world for most of the 90s with Phil at the helm. You know, there's a lot of history and there's a lot that goes into it when you peel back the layers. You know, if you ask different generations of Tennessee fans, they'll tell you who their biggest rival is. When I was growing up in the 90s, I hated Florida more than I hated anybody else. You ask my dad's generation, I inherited that Alabama hate because they weren't really much to talk about in the 90s because they were on probation for a while. Mm-hmm. But it was still fun to be like, yeah, we hate Alabama. We know that's just a thing, right? So, you know, I don't think it's unrealistic to say we want a championship. We want another conference title. We want to be in the mix again. We don't want to be Georgia's little brother. We don't want to be the team that got one game short. We want to be the team that just blows everybody out of the water. There are also moments where it's just laughable where somebody will kind of look up and go, hey, you know, it's been like 30 years since we had that last national championship. So maybe this is the magical year because we're going to have a junior quarterback and we're going to have, you know, all the things that were happened again, you know, happened once upon a time in 1998. And so, you know, I think we've finally beaten that dead horse to where we go, all right, let's move on a little bit and let's go into a different era. You know, part of that, I think, is just because the game has changed. Part of that is because recruiting has changed. The whole landscape of college sports has shifted. And now I think everybody has to shift and temper their expectations. Well, think about it. Like, Tennessee's last national championship was the very first year of the BCS in 1998. Mm-hmm. And that system came online and everybody went, a true national championship. There will be no opinion. It will be total computer. And, you know, we will have all of these metrics go. Well, then what was the expectation, right? It was, oh, we've got to be one of the top four teams. And now it's, we got to be one of the top 12 and eventually 16 and 24 and all that. So I think the goalposts have shifted in that way because in a lot of ways, I'd rather not have to compete for an SEC championship. I'd rather just worry about getting into the playoff, which is what happened to us a couple of years ago. So I think everybody's expectation may not necessarily be let's go win it all. It's let's make the playoff. Let's make sure we can continue to play football at the end of the season where, you know, our last regular season game is not our last game. That's where I would say my expectations are. I think a lot of fan bases kind of see that as the thing now because look at the chaos that happened in the playoff last year, by the way. It's not necessarily guaranteed that the number 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds are going to make it, right? I mean, I think the goal for every team should be how can we get to the postseason? And specifically get to the playoff. That's mine for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting, Chris, because I've always seen and I'll be honest, I'm going to be straight up honest with you, brother. I've always seen Tennessee as a second-tier program and just in terms of blue blood status because I don't know that I see Tennessee as a blue blood. I see them as important in the history of college football. Yep. But I think you say blue blood status for that top five, that upper echelon, you know, Oklahoma, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, USC, right? I don't even put Texas up there. And I know they're going to hate that, but it is what it is.
We give it right back to them, man. Don't get me started on who's the real UT. Come on now.
Hey, brother, I'll go there with you. Speaking of, though, the other UT, as you said, I almost feel like I would put you guys, and they may hate that I say this too, but I don't really care. They may hate, I put you guys in the same category in terms of both of your schools. I feel like have so much history. You guys have so much lore, especially you guys in Knoxville, in Neyland. Having Peyton Manning, obviously having some of the years you had before in the 70s and everything like that. Like, you guys also have one of the most fun and intimidating environments in all of college football in Neyland Stadium. You have money in the program. You know, it's not like you guys just, you know, can't find some, you know, can't compete in the NIL world. That's also not true of you guys.
Yeah, just it's out of the McDonald's bags now. Like, we can be honest about it.
just like Texas, again, same thing with them. They that's not an issue for them. And so
that's right.
I feel like you guys have the resources to compete. Just like I would say Texas has had the resources to compete, it has just been about having the right people in place. Right. And it just doesn't seem like you guys have been able to figure that out for the longest time. And you've got Josh, which we all love Josh. We think Josh is great. And now, you know, you're to the level that you haven't been really since the early 2000s and 90s, right? And being competitive, making the playoff. Obviously, like you said, this year was a disappointment, but again, you still, what was it? Did you go 8-4? Is that correct?
8-5 if you count the bowl loss.
8-5.
We don't want to talk about that.
If I'm being honest, I don't really. People may hate this, may be a hot take. This is SEC smoke. We do hot takes sometimes. I don't really care about bowl games anymore. I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah. Like, I feel like bowl games are irrelevant. And if you tell me, like, Texas fans have bringing them back up again, Texas fans have been telling me, hey, we're 10-3, just like you guys are 10-3 because we beat Michigan in the Citrus Bowl. And I'm like, get that out of here, bro. I'm like, get it out.
Did you make the playoff, though?
That's what I'm saying. Did you make the playoff? Like, nobody cares about the glorified scrimmages that are bowl games anymore. Like, if we're talking about a bowl game in the mid-2000s, then it's different. It's different. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but
I got you.
We're not. We're talking about a bowl game where, like, half the team has opted out at this
point.
That's right. That's where we're at. So
you brought up a good point, and if I may, like
– yeah.
One of the things that defined Tennessee in the 90s was these dominant teams, these unstoppable defenses. Phil Fulmer was known for that. These flashy offenses. Like, we put it all together in 98 for the first time. Before that, and even probably since that, I would argue that we have had fantastic players, but not necessarily a great team to put together, with the exception of Hendon Hooker's team in 22. That might have been as close as I was. Like, I was so disappointed when he went down. I was like, that was going to be it. But again, like, a great player goes down, but the team can't keep it together. And so I think, to your point, like, the gap between 2009 and 2021 got so wide because we had great players, but not great teams. And so we were never going to be able to put out that full effort. Whereas you look at what Alabama did. Yes, we can all name the Mark Ingrams of the world and the, you know, all of the great players that are going to escape me right now because I hate all of them. Right. But like they put together so many great teams, dominant teams, things that will never be replicated in college football again. Patriots level kind of dynasty stuff. Right. And you just didn't see that from Tennessee. And I don't disagree with you that we were a blue chip. And then we had to go through a very dark period where, I'm not going to call it recency bias, but it's just reality over the last however many years. We're trying to get back to that blue chip status. I love our history. I love our lore. I love our traditions. I love our game day atmosphere. I love all of that. I want to be the team that everybody's scared to play. I want to be that 6 o'clock game on ABC. You know, I don't want to get passed over for, like, the Tennessee Texas game is a noon game this year. You want to talk about a hot take, bro? Like, why in the world is a Manning coming to Knoxville a noon game?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Their first time in Knoxville.
That's actually crazy.
Why did that happen? It's because, to your point, nobody knows what they're going to get out of Tennessee. And so why would we take the risk on a primetime game? It just is what it is. Now, we all hate it because we're going to check our kneeling and we're going to show out and you're going to see what's up, Texas. Right. Like, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be an atmosphere similar to what y'all had to experience for the first time that you don't know until you're there. You're not going to know it until you walk through that tunnel and you're like, oh, shoot, I was wrong. I've been to the Swamp. I've been to South Carolina. I've been to a lot of great stadiums, a lot of great bowl games. I still haven't found anywhere that's anywhere close to that. But that can't be our only thing. You know what I mean? Like, it can't just be about the atmosphere. It's got to be about the team you put on the field. So to bring it all back, like, I think that's one of the reasons why you may have that perception is because we haven't had great teams, great players, not great teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is just.
the difference, right, in tier status? And do you guys have the ability to, I think, create those teams and be able to? I think you do, but it's just about finding the right people, finding the right teams at the end of the day. But I'll definitely be locked in to see what Tennessee does. We don't play you guys this year. Obviously, when we do play you guys, I'm going to always cheer for the Sooners. But knowing that you guys have Josh Heupel, you know, the Sooners fans will cheer for you. We had good experiences. I know you guys being in Norman and us being at Knoxville this past year, I know that we had a great experience when I was down there and I talked to other Sooners fans and they had a great experience as well. And so it's love between our two programs. Obviously, there as we know, Charlie, there are trolls in both fan bases that are going to do what they're going to do. I'm not going to lie to you. I've had some arguments with some Tennessee fans over my time because they just said disrespectful
stuff. I'll pre-apologize for Vol Twitter, man. Like, Vol Twitter is out of control. Now, listen.
It's great.
Say this,
we're
too?
We're both out of control. Both,
we
both
apologize for Vol Twitter, but had it not been for Vol Twitter, we would have gone even deeper into the depths of despair had Shiano Sunday not happened. So I am grateful that Vol Nation rose up and said, yeah, we're not bringing that dude in. We don't want that. So we did have a very small period after that where we were like, maybe was that the right call? Maybe, but we're better off now. So, in the end, it all kind of worked out.
That's the one thing, man, I think I've seen that both Sooner Twitter and Vol Twitter are both entities in and of their own selves. Like we found that out very quickly, just having conversations, especially in the wake of when you guys beat us in Norman and Nico and Mali, which, well, honestly, that's probably a whole nother show because I would like to hear your thoughts on that whole thing. But
I got thoughts.
after you guys beat us, I just had a lot of people in my mentions talking crazy, going, see, we told you Oklahoma ain't this. And you got like, you guys are a second rate program. And I was like, okay, let's not get disrespectful.
We don't do that.
We don't got to get disrespectful.
We don't do that. I don't call anybody a poverty program. Like I'll make fun of you all day and be like, listen, you know, you might as well listen. We give it to Vandy fans all the time. We're like, why don't y'all just go dominate the Ivy League? Like that's, you're already an Ivy League school. Why don't you go do that? And then, of course, Pavia comes out and does what he does. And, you know, we're all mad. There's nothing worse than watching little brother beat up on you. You guys got state. You know, we've got Vandy in our backyard. And, you know, I live in Nashville, so I got to listen to all that stuff for a full year, too. Right. Mm-hmm. And I got a hot take for you. I'll take all the smoke for all of this. Right. I'm still not convinced that Clark Lee is the man. I wonder if Pavia covered up whatever else may or may not be a Clark Lee deficiency while he got his feet under him. And so this will be the year that tells whether Clark Lee is real or not.
Ooh. Hey, you talk about SEC smoke. That's a smoking take right there. Everybody is worshiping that man for what he's done at Vanderbilt now. But you think it's...
Oh, give him credit. Listen. You want to go back and look what he did 2 years ago, poaching the portal and building a team. Phenomenal job. You have to give him credit for that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's going to be sustainable because now he's had to go recruit and not just portal poach. So I think this is going to be the year. I don't know that it's going to go super well for Vandy fans right out the gate. Might take a couple of years to build it out. I just think that this is going to be a reality check for them to go, Clark Lee may have it, but we got to see what he does when he actually has a full recruiting class under his belt.
Sure. Well, Charlie, thank you for coming on, brother. Also, I'm going to ask your many apologies. I realized halfway through the show that I kept calling you Chris, and I had an epiphany, and I was like, why am I calling him Chris when I know that his name is Charlie? Am I
it's
okay?
It's all good, bro.
So you've been so gracious. Thanks for coming on. Again, I would love, brother, to have you on again sometime in the season. I think that we're going to definitely have a lot of talks. I'm going to try to have something where I have a lot of like four, maybe 5 to 6 at one time SEC content creators on the show.
Let's go.
Because the reality is this show is called SEC Smoke. And while, again, we had some good topics today that we talked about some things, they were good topics. We didn't get too hot, and that's okay. We don't have to all the time. It's good to have, you know, some in between. However, The name of the show is SEC Smoke, and I fully plan on having opportunities when the year comes up for all of us, you know, to combat different narratives that get spun. It'll be fun, man. It'll be all great and fun. But if you don't mind, can you tell the people if you have anywhere that you're doing stuff where they can find you at before we head out, brother?
Oh, yeah. I always live tweet games, whether I'm there or whether I'm watching them at home. So you can find me. It's at Charlie Sells on X, or I still call it Twitter because I'm old school. Yeah, you can always find me there. I know it will never be X to any of the purists. You know what's up. Yeah, you can always find me there. That's where I do all my good sports, you know, back and forth, and keep up with all the news and such. And then, you know, the rest of it's out there on the internet. If you want to search for me, I'm on LinkedIn and I'm on all that other stuff. So, but we'll keep it real on Twitter, and you know, keep all the good replies and all the good hot takes coming through.
Well, guys, thanks again for coming to another episode of SEC Smoke. Remember to hit that subscribe button on OU Insider, where we have plenty of content for Oklahoma football, basketball, baseball, all the sports that you could ever want. Also, always recruiting updates with Brandon and Travis. Also, please make sure that you go and follow SEC Smoke on Instagram, and also follow us on Twitter. We just made an account on Twitter as well. May even make one on TikTok. We will see. But you will see clips of this show and all of our other episodes on there. So please follow us. Make sure you give us a like there and share us with your friends and let everybody know about this new show that's pretty fun. I like it a lot. And again, as always, it's no bias. It's just smoke. We'll see you guys next time.